For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, June the 30th, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just all worship the Lord a minute. Praise the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We love you and appreciate you so much, Lord. Blessed be your name. Lord, just encourage your people tonight, Lord, as we share a few minutes of your word. We thank you for them, Lord. We bless them, and we bless you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah.
The Lord moves
on
you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. How many believe God's preparing a wineskin?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
amen. You know, God wants to prepare that wineskin, and He wants to fill it with wine. And I'm not talking about the kind you buy in the store. And we must dispense that wine or that joy that He puts in you and I tonight. And that wineskin has to be flexible. It has to be soft and pliable. Otherwise, it'll be rigid, hard, it'll crack, and the wine will be spilt, and of course, the wineskin destroyed. God doesn't want the wineskin destroyed, neither does He want the wine spilt. Turn to Luke 5. Let's start there for a few minutes tonight and look at a few scriptures. Yes, we teach a lot on the kingdom and end time things. Tonight I want to share a little on what the Lord has spoken to my heart. Luke 5, look in verse 37. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, or wines, old wineskins, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. You know, it's easy to get settled down in our traditions, isn't it? In our old ways. Anybody like your habit patterns to be broken up? Not too often. And so, in the church, we can see these things. But He said here to us that the wine would be spilled, the bottles perish. Verse 38, but new wine must, it's a must, be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better. And many want to go back to the good old days, but I'm telling you, we better go on with God. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for what He's done in the past, but I believe He's going to surpass the past. Hallelujah. That we let Him. Amen. So, the wineskin cannot be rigid and hard, or it will crack and the wine will be spilled. It must be flexible, soft, and pliable. And we are that wineskin. We are that container. We are that receptacle. We are the one that must dispense that joy of the Lord. Because when we're talking about wine, I'm talking about the joy tonight. Of course, it represents the blood. And when we talk about new wine, we think of new cloth. I'm talking about New Testament now. New creation, new man, new covenant, new commandments, new heavens, new earth. Everything's new, isn't it? It's like in the book of Joshua. There was a new people. There was a new generation. There was a new land, new food, a new enemy. Everything was new. And so Jesus is making all things new. Praise the Lord. Let me know you got to lose your head if you're going to be a wineskin. You know, it took a death of an animal, and what I'm saying is that you have to lose your carnal mind if you're going to really be a wineskin. You have to lose your thinking and my thinking. The animal, the head would be cut off, and they'd use the neck for the spout, tie the ends off, the hands and the legs would say, and use it, you see, for a spout, the neck. And so if we're going to be a wineskin, we must lose our head. We must lose our carnal mind and take on His mind. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And of course, a wineskin is an individual, it's a home, it's a local church, and it's the same with a vineyard, I believe. I think we see that in an individual, a home, and a local church. And you know, the vineyard, there was the vine and there was the branches. And we know there's Jesus in the body tonight. There was the tower. And in the tower was the watchman, the ministry. And how many know God usually puts seasoned ministries in the watchtower? Hallelujah. And around the vineyard there was a hedge, there was a fence, there was a wall, or the protection of His presence. How many know God's got a wall around us tonight? A wall of fire, Zechariah 2 tells us. Praise the Lord. And of course there was the wine press, the outflow of His joy and presence and so forth. I want to start tonight in Proverbs, look at a few scriptures here with you for just a few minutes before Brother Jack comes. Chapter 24, and look in verse 30. It says, "And I went by the field of the slothful." I mean, we can all be lazy. "And by the vineyard of the man void of something." Understanding. And God said, with all you're getting, get some understanding. "And lo, it was all grown over with thorns." Thorns is a type of curse. Isn't that right? "And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down." I mean, the Bible said we must build the walls of Jerusalem. The walls of protection. "And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received some instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth and one as thy want as an armed man." So, we can learn by the story here, but we can actually be the same type of person if we're not careful. We can be slothful and lazy, and that vineyard can just go to pot, so to speak. And the stone wall can be broken down and the enemy's coming right in on us. Let me know that's a picture of the church tonight.
Hallelujah.
That's a picture of the church tonight, if we'll really be honest with the scripture. Now, how many believe the joy of the Lord is our strength tonight?
Amen.
We're talking about wine. Jesus said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Turn to Proverbs 24 there again and look in verse 10. Look in verse 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity. Now, he didn't say adversity would not come. He didn't say tribulation and trouble would not come, because we know it comes in various packages. Amen. Sometimes we expect them, sometimes we don't. But he said, if thou faint in the day of adversity. How many know Jesus said, men are always pray and not faint. Or another translation says, not give up. Another one says, not cave in. So if we don't cave in, we don't give up, we don't faint, how many know we're going to stand? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So he said if we're going to faint in that time, then our joy is small.
Yeah.
Now turn to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. We're just hitting the highlights here. We're not going too deep. Psalms 84. Look in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength or whose joy is in thee. In whose heart are the ways of them who passing through, I want you to notice this verse, not staying or remaining in, who passing through the valley of Baca. I mean, oh, the valley faces all of us. But we don't just remain there all of our life. I mean, oh, we can get wilderness conscious if we're not careful. That's all we think about. We have three alternatives in the wilderness, or in the valley, I guess we'd say. Number one, we can keep taking the life over and over and over again. We know that in Deuteronomy, the Lord told Israel, He said, you went around that mountain long enough, now turn north. Well, maybe he's saying that to us tonight. I've went around the mountain quite a few times, same thing. Number two, how many know our bones can bleach? We can die right in the wilderness with the promise of God in our heart.
Amen.
Just because you've been circumcised doesn't mean you're going to inherit what's ahead. And you know, if you don't press on in God. Come on now.
Yeah.
Some die right there in the wilderness. Amen? I want to show you this. Turn to Jude. Keep your place here. Turn to Jude, verse 5. Hallelujah. Jude 5. Notice what it said. I will therefore put your remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's the world, isn't it? Afterward destroyed them that what? Believe not. Who's he talking about? God's people. Amen. And the third alternative is we can stand and enter by the power of God. And I believe there's a people going to stand and enter in this hour. Hallelujah. And that's the overcomer. Now back to Psalms 84. Who passing through, verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, maketh a well, the rain also filleth the pools, and they go. And they go. Hallelujah. From strength to strength, or from joy to joy, every one of them in Zion, hallelujah, appeareth before God. So, we pass through the valley, we go from joy to joy, or from strength to strength. Now turn to Isaiah 40, another scripture here real quick. Isaiah 40, I was really trying to get out of ministry, not to be honest. Hallelujah. Can't get back past Glenn. Isaiah 40, look at verse 29. He giveth power to who? To the faint. We saw that a while ago. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Anybody need that tonight? Amen. How many know it may take an all-night prayer meeting in your life to get some new strength back? Or whatever God requires. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's a 30, 60, 100 principle there in that verse. Praise the Lord. And we don't like to wait for anything, as I said the other night. We just like to get it now. Praise the Lord. We like the quick trips, don't we? Amen. We like the fast food restaurants and so forth. Praise the Lord. Somebody said God didn't have any microwave Christians. I kind of believe that. Hallelujah. We're getting from the microwave and we can't wait till the thing shuts off and stops. And, you know, it'll be done just a little bit. But that's the way we are. All right. Turn to another scripture. Esther 1. Esther 1. Hallelujah. Esther. Hallelujah. Esther chapter 1. Look in verse 7 now. I'm going to look at these verses in the spirit more than the natural. There's a lot in Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther down through here in these books. But in verse 7, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold. How many believe we're his vessel tonight? He's putting his nature in us. The vessels being diverse, one from another. God didn't make us all the same, did he? Hallelujah. Now notice, they're diverse, one from another. Now, we can look at each other and say, well, we're diverse or different from him or her. But I see something else here. How many know though some drink more than others?
Hallelujah.
Some have a greater thirst for this new wine than others.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And raw wine is in abundance, according to the state or the law of the king. So tonight, we are diverse vessels, because some can receive more than others. We drink this royal wine in abundance. You can't bankrupt heaven from, he has a lot of it. Hallelujah. According to his law, the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, and none did compel. You ever seen people try to compel people to get God? You almost drag them to the altar. You can't do that. I mean, the Spirit must draw. Amen. So the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Praise the Lord. Now turn to Nehemiah. Turn left there to Nehemiah. Chapter 1. Nehemiah. In verse 11. 11. How many know Nehemiah was a cupbearer? In chapter 1, verse 11, it said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy saint. This man was a praying man, if you never said it in his life. And to the prayer of his servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. All right. So he was a cupbearer. Number one, he ministered to the king daily. How many know that's our job? Our privilege, I should say. I don't know a job. Our privilege. That speaks of communion. Number two, he knew the taste of wine. Amen? What's that? That's discernment. And number three, this man risked his life being a cupbearer daily. How many know God requires that we forsake all for the king? And number four, he was completely committed. He was what he did. How many know if there's any poison in that cup, you'd know it first. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there was communion, there was discernment, there was a forsaking all. He was what he did. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at one or two scriptures here in closing, because I'm going to let Jack come on. Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Verse 15. It says, and wine that maketh glad. Wine that maketh glad. The heart of man. I felt some gladness right here tonight in this service when we was worshiping. I felt a sweet presence of God here tonight. And the oil to make his face to shine. That's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And bread, this is the word, which strengtheneth man's heart. So wine is in the heart, oil on the face. It'll cause a man to have a glow. And then the bread, the word, will strengthen man's heart. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord. How many know that's you and me? Are full. Full of sap. Not sap suckers. I met a few of them. But full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, those cedars that grow tall and go deep, and the winds come, and the smell, the fragrance come off of those cedars, and you can smell it. Praise the Lord. How many know God wants us to have a good smell? Well, brethren, you get some gladness in your heart, you get oil on your face, you get the word in you, you become that tree, hallelujah, full of sap, life, then you're going to have a good smell. And notice what else it says, which he hath planted. How many know you can only bloom where he plants you? And I believe we need to be blooming, and I believe we need to be planted by the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll show you that in another scripture. Turn to Psalm 68. Hallelujah. Psalm 68, it says in verse 6, God, who's God? God's a spirit, isn't he? God's a consuming fire. He's light. He's life. He's love. 68:6. God setteth the solitary, the lonely in families. You didn't choose what family you was born in the natural. And we don't choose what spiritual family we're going to be in. God's going to tell us. Hallelujah. And God's going to place us if we listen to the Holy Spirit. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious, hallelujah, dwell in a dry land. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to tell you seven things in closing here. I'll give you all the scripture I'm going to give you. Hallelujah. If you're intoxicated with the new wine of God, have you know, number one, you'll release some inhibitions that's in you and me. And the result is boldness. We all, at times, have fear and doubts and things, and we can just rise above all that junk, can we? With the joy of the Lord. Number two, you'll have liberty to do what you ordinarily would not do, like maybe dancing the Spirit, clapping your hands, or whatever God requires. You're a different person. And three, there's easy communications to one who is drunk. And I'm not, he's not so touchy. How many know we get touchy? Things don't go right, and boy, we're touchy. I'm talking about joy of the Lord now, not that natural stuff. Number four, Number four, that joy attracts the attention of others. I'm talking about the one in us now, the Lord. That's the joy. There's an attraction to that joy. You ever see a person with joy on their face and you say, boy, I want some of that. there's an attraction. Not to the person, now to the one in the person. And number five, we walk differently. Our walk is differently when we're under the, when we have that joy of God in our life. And number six, we company with those who are also intoxicated. Amen? We like that company. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that the joy of the Lord tonight is our strength. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Jack.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I say that sad. If it had not been for that very small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he comes on over a little further and he says unto us, a child is born. Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yeah. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall come no end. Then he gets over at verse 53, and he says, who has believed our report? Who really seen the arm of the Lord in all of this? Hallelujah. All these projections that he had made as he was moved on by the Spirit and projected great things for hundreds of years out. Some of his projections are not even fulfilled yet. And he said, who believed our report? Who's seen the arm of the Lord? Trying to reveal the Lord. He shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was taken as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he smitten. He made his grave with the rich, and with the evil, and with the rich in his death, because in him was no violence, neither with deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 27 identifying marks Isaiah puts on the blessed Lord Jesus 800 years before the baby cried out in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Now, here's a man that's hearing from God. Praise the Lord. He had to know that he was hearing from God, didn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to call our attention tonight to a few passages of Scripture. I don't believe that I'll just go in a little bit different direction here tonight. Let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 10, And the title to this message is The Goodly Horse Company. We are the goodly, now we've been calling ourselves overcomers, and that, I like that word. We're overcomers, and hallelujah. We are the elect. We are the very elect. Hallelujah. But tonight we are the Goodly Horse Company. Hallelujah. Now here in the third verse says, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. God's talking. And I punished the goats for the work, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock. The house of Judah hath made them, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Now Judah is a praise. When you see Judah mentioned, it means, you know, he's the praise company. And Judah is a son of Jacob, as we told you this morning. He's the one that was born under the law to bring forth the Shiloh, because the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And I love the precision timing of God's beautiful word. Hallelujah. All right, so here, Judah, of course, we're going to tie him back in to Jacob, but now God has made Judah as his goodly horse in the battle. A goodly horse in the battle. Now, this is, we are the goodly horse company. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah said, in that day, I will say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry at me, thine anger is turned away, and thou now comfortest me. Behold, the Lord is my strength and my shield. The Lord Jehovah has become my strength and my shield. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I will say in that day, he is the Lord. Yeah, and speak of his wondrous works. Make mention of his works, because these are known throughout all the earth. Cry out and shout, you inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Though God was angry with them, he got over his anger and turned his blessings toward them. And that's what it says here. His anger was kindled against the shepherds. He punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in battle. Now let's turn to Job chapter 39 and look at the goodly horse. Yeah, and this is our, this is, keep in mind that this goodly horse is the elect. It is the overcomer. All right? Let's look at him. In verse 19, did I say Job 39, verse 19? All right. Has thou given the horse strength? Has thou clothed his neck with thunder? There's nothing so beautiful as a strong horse. Especially some kinds of horses, you know. And there is nothing so strong. He's a very strong animal. And he says, hast thou given the horse strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Tommy just told us here. So it is the Lord. Who gave him the strength? The Lord has given us the strength to become overcomers. Has thou clothed his neck with thunder? Well, he's talking about the glittering neck of a thoroughbred, if you please. And when a horse, you know, holds his head, and you teach him, you train him how to hold his neck in a bow, and there's some more beauty there. His neck is, this is where his strength is. His strength is in his neck. And you clothe his neck with thunder. Now, he says in the 20th verse, can thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? No, he's not afraid as a grasshopper. Well, you remember the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 13, when they go out to spy out the land there, and in the 33rd verse of the 13th chapter of Numbers, they said, "Then there we saw the giants." Well, they said it's a land that eats up the inhabitants. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now he said, can you make the horse afraid as a grasshopper? Yeah. Before the giants seen the children of Israel as grasshoppers, they seen themselves as grasshoppers. And then when they seen themselves as grasshoppers, that's the way the giants seen them. Well, I don't know, but what is a grasshopper? He is not much glory there, is it? There's not much strength there. He just hops around and runs from every noise. He tries sometimes, they will try a little flight as they jump around, and he just jumps from place to place, and in the old order we used to say he spit by on, but I guess we can omit that, strike that from the record. All right. Can you make him afraid as a grasshopper? No, sir, not this goodly horse, because he knows where his strength is. He does not see himself as a grasshopper. You know, it is when we see ourselves as insignificant, that's the way the enemy sees us. If we see ourselves fearful, he sees a fearful person. But I'll tell you, we are not afraid. Hallelujah. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When mine enemies and foes came upon me and eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on high. Then shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear me, O Lord, when I cry, and answer me. Hallelujah. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. The false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You cannot make this goodly horse, all right? You can't make him afraid as a grasshopper. And the glory of his nostril is terrible. That is, when he snorts. The glory of it. He's getting ready. He's making preparation for battle. You do know that we're in a warfare, to be overcomers, and to be the elect. Alright, now what does he do? In verse 21, he poweth in the valley. Yeah, hallelujah. He poweth in the valley. And he poweth. That means he's wanting to go. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to get out of that valley. He wants to charge the enemy. He's a war horse. Hallelujah. I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that have fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that shout is a war cry. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. And we did all of that. In my opinion, we did do all of that without, hallelujah, amen, without going very high. Yeah, I think I've already been higher than I'll ever be again. I flew 747, 39,000 feet high. Hallelujah. Amen. I may fly in another one of them and get that high, but I'm not expecting to. Yeah, I'm expecting the translation of the sons of God. The clouds that they're caught up in here is the same word used in Hebrews 12, therefore seeing we're compassionate about with such a great cloud of witnesses. It's most evident that he's talking about people here. This is a cloud that we're caught up in. And another thing to notice about the first resurrection, this is a goodly horse company that's coming out. It is the overcomer. Those that are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I guess. Alright, this was a scripture that kind of confused me for some time. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Well, we give in the old line, the old school that I came up to, we give everything a general application. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we read it to mean that if any man be saved, he's a new creature. But it didn't take long to find out that don't work. Hallelujah. Amen. That old things, all things ain't passed away, are they? You know, there's a peculiar thing about this old man. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can get spiritual enough to keep him subdued 10 years and don't allow him to raise his head, the old man that's crucified, if you can keep him subdued for 10 years and then he gets up, you'll find that he didn't learn a thing in 10 years. Hallelujah. He didn't change a bit. He's still just as unreal as he ever was. Hallelujah. So there's only, you can't train him. You can't teach him. Hallelujah. You cannot discipline him. The only thing, he has to be put to death. He has to be put to death. And if he comes back alive, just as soon as he raises his head, you'll know it. Hallelujah. And he will be the same. Praise the Lord. He poweth in the valley. He rejoiceth in his strength. He's checking his equipment over. Hallelujah. Amen. He's down in the valley, pouring in the valley, rejoicing in his strength. He's getting ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll tell you, the gates of hell are under attack tonight by the sons of God. Hallelujah. By the goodly horse company. He poweth in the valley. Hallelujah. In the valley, you know, sometimes the valley is, it's portrayed as, and Brother Tommy talked about the valley there. He poweth in the valley. The psalmist said, God prepareth the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He parteth in the valley. All right, he is in the valley. Let's see here what we said. Now, in Isaiah, hold your place here, but I'll turn over to Isaiah and read from the 63rd chapter. In Isaiah, and verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my raiment. Of course, this is a projection of our blessed Savior. And he trod the winepress alone. And of the people there was none with him. When he parteth in the valley, sometimes you have to do it alone. Hallelujah. When you're checking your war equipment, hallelujah, and your strength, and pawing in the valley, he paws alone, Jesus said. There's a remarkable scripture here that the Spirit just calls to my attention. I believe it'll be in St. Luke chapter 9, and Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9, and it's going to be about verse 18. I think here we'll shortly get oriented here, and verse 18. Now look at this. It came to pass as he was alone, talking about Jesus, he was alone praying. His disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am? Did you see anything?" I have just one question here. Was he alone, or was his disciples with him? Oh, Lord. Now, he says, it says that he was alone praying, and his disciples were with him. And I want to know, was he alone, or were the disciples with him? Oh, Lord. Well, both. Both. Hallelujah. For he was alone in self-surrender. For he prayed alone in self-surrender. They were trying for self-saving. And so he was alone in what he was doing. He was alone in his surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. The disciples had not come this far yet. They were not goodly, they had not made the goodly horse company at this time. All right? In the valley. Brother Tommy mentioned the valley of Baca. And spoke of the strength of those that turned it into whales of water. In the Genesis chapter 26 and verse 18 says that Isaac digged again the wells of water, and he strikes water, a well with living water. The word digged, is the same as the word, in the original language, the word digged is the same as the word paweth. He paweth. And when a horse, you've seen a horse paw? We used to raise horses, maybe next to this, I know more about horses than I do anything. Yeah, we'd keep them great stallions, and kept them in great high pens, you know, and they'd stand at the gate and paw. Indeed, pawing and digging is the same. They'd dig out. Finally they'll just dig a hole so big and so deep that they can walk under the gate. Yeah, that is, of course you don't keep too many of them horses in there together, but, alright, he, hallelujah, he paweth in the valley, alright, now, in Deuteronomy, let's keep up right here, but I want to show something here, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and verse 22, And this is significant because it all has a meaning here. And ye came near unto me. Moses is giving his farewell address, recounting history here to the children of Israel. And he said, you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. Now the word search here is still the same word. In the original, it is the same word as Paleth. It is the same word as Isaac digged. They went in to search. We sent out the spies to search the land. With that still in mind, turn to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 2, and we'll throw out basketball. Hallelujah. Now, it was told of the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Hallelujah. That's when they sent the spies into Jericho. This word search is still the same word as the horse, the goodly horse, pawing in the valley. But what have we said? We have said that there is a company now that has gone in by night to search out the land. Hallelujah. And we're waiting that God morning when he will have a willing people in the day of his pleasure. Hallelujah. We're waiting. We're pawing in the valley. We had, when I was a boy, we also broke mules. And we worked mules in the woods. We had, we had a farm ranch thing, but we had, we had sharp mills. I told you about sharp mills. We had sawmill too. And we used to, in the summer, when, we'd get everything done, we'd crank up the sawmill and cut some ties. And you go and cut the trees in the woods, and then we snake them out with mules. And we had a pair of big old mules that we used in the woods. And, my uncle thought that, they could, they could pull anything, you could get a chunk under the corner. I didn't like to work them because they was too slow. And one of them, old Dan, I never forget them, old Dan and Dick, and you hook them when you come down through the woods, with the grabs. Now ain't nobody that old, are you? Now they make the logs out of the woods. And old Dan had looked that log over as he went by. See how big it was and what all it was hooked to. And then you'd hook the gloves in there and then you'd holler at old Dan to get it. And you know what he'd do? He'd reach out with his front foot and he'd paw a little. He'd reach out with his other one and he'd paw a little. Oh, we were on the other side just waiting for him. You know what he's doing? He's looking for a solid footing for when he throws his weight against it. And so if he just puts his hook down on a rolling little old limb no bigger than your finger, when he throws his weight, which was about 1,400 pounds, when he throws that weight against it, well, his feet will fly off from under him. No, Dan, he was work-wise. He didn't do nothing till he pawed. Hallelujah. He's pawing in the valley. He's getting ready. And then when he got ready, don't say nothing else to him, because soon as he gets his footing there, he's going to hit it. And then the mule that's worked with him long knows what Dan's doing, so he's going to hit it too. He's not near so careful, but it won't make much difference. If he don't get out of the way, Dan will pull it all over him, because he's going to take off with a solid footing. Now I said that you hear me in the spirit. You see, we're the goodly horse, and we have to take off on a solid footing. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess that's another message. But we have to know, what is solid footing? Divine order. And to know our calling, and to know where we're going. Not much use in starting anywhere if you don't know where you're going, is it? Or to figure out where we're going first. And then, he's a goodly horse. Let's see what he does here. He parteth in the valley. He rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed man. Well, he's trained to not draw back at nothing. Hours and hours and days of training has gone into this goodly horse. And he's raring to get to them armed men. He knows just how to handle them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. He's raring to get into the battle. Hallelujah. Because he goeth on to meet the armed men. Let's read the next. He mocketh at fear. He's a goodly horse company. He mocketh at fear. Hallelujah. Many there be that say of my soul, God won't help him this time. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory and the lifting up of mine head. Hallelujah. He mocketh at fear. Hallelujah. Somebody said, we'll never make it. Hallelujah. Amen. I say we'll never miss it. Praise the Lord. You know, I wondered for a long time why that when Samuel went over to the house of Jesse to anoint a king, and Eliab, the oldest, stepped out before him, and Samuel almost sprang to his feet with a horn of awe. My God, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Have an idea, this was a big old boy. Hallelujah. Amen. And Saul had never, they had no one came. He was a big guy. And so it was a natural mistake for Samuel. Natural error. He jumped up to anoint him and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But God said to him, sit down, Samuel. I've already rejected him. You're looking on the outside, but I'm looking on the inside. But I wondered what was on the inside that God had seen in this old boy. And then I found out what it was. One day I was reading along there, and Jesse sends up David to the battlefield, you know, to see us take his older brothers a little bit of goodies. And he gets up there, there's old Eliab up there in uniform. And there's Goliath out there challenging all Israel. And Saul's searching his service, the service records of his men frantically to see if we have a hero here that might have any kind of a chance against this giant. But they don't have one. And David said to Eliab, what's that guy doing? Oh, he said he'd been doing it his 39 days. Said he's challenging us for a fight. He's offered, instead of a massacre, he's offered us a sporting proposition. He'll meet the best soldier we have, and if he wins, we'll all surrender to him, and if he loses, they all surrender to us. And David said to Eliab, well, why don't you go out there? Well, Eliab said, my God, he's too big for me to hit. And David said, he's too big for me to miss. Hallelujah. That was the difference. Praise the Lord. It just depends on how you're looking at it. David belonged to the goodly horse company. He couldn't miss. He mocketh at fear. David mocketh at fear. The giant said, what is this boy coming out here? Am I a dog? And he said, I'll pretty soon feed your carcass to the beast of the field. And David said, you come at me with a sword, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. And the carcass don't have a bigger meal than you thought they was going to have. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to give them the big stuff. We're going to give them the big turkey. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he mocketh at fear. He goeth out to meet the armed million. I vote for Duck some years ago, a good number of years ago it's been, believe me, and we were in the old school of the old area that we came up to, and we was at this convention. Well, I was just new in the ministry, and we got there, and oh, there's a lot of people everywhere, you know, and there was these two preachers that looked like they'd somebody done run them through a sausage grinder. So we said, one of them was old. Well, I thought he was old then. Actually, he was about as old as I am now, I guess then. And the other one was, the other one was a young man, and he was big. The young one was biggest, well, he was as big as me or bigger, and the old one, of course, he wasn't all that big. And so we said, somebody said, what happened to y'all? And so the young one, he didn't much want to tell, but the old one said, well, we went over to the place they went to there to for John to preach the other night. And said, he preached, and when we come out, said there's about 8 or 10 men that jumped on him. And they blocked his eyes, and he said they was just beating him, and I thought, well, the least I could do is, you know, try to talk them out of it. So I eased up there and asked them to quit, and they blocked his eyes too. And they said, now, this church was way out in the country there, and it had a pretty good congregation, really, but it was mostly women and old men. And these boys, were grown men, but they're young men, and they just didn't like preachers and didn't like them holy rollers. They called us holy rollers back in them days. We've been called everything. So it don't matter. Just get the meal ready and holler. We've answered all of it. He said, we'll tell you where it's at, too, if anybody wants to go over there. So somebody said, well, we'll send Brother Jack over there. So a few days, and I get a call, and sure enough, they call in me to come over to this place and preach. And they told me, said, now, you know about the last ones over here, don't you? And I said, yeah. And will you come? I said, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I went over there. I was in there, you know, and they're going through the preliminaries, and like I said, there's a bunch of women and a few old men. Now these old ones I'm talking about now is older than I am now. You know, and you know, there was, I guess it was 50, 60 people in there. But the church was way out in the country, and back in those days, if you'd called the sheriff, you couldn't have got him out there in 3 days. And this is over in another county. And I don't know about the goodly horse either at this time. Amen. So while I'm sitting there, they send up a note. One young man brings a note and hands it to me. And, you know, I thought he was going to request me to sing. I used to, you know, after I started. But the note says, when you come out, we'll get you. Well, I wasn't as long-winded in those days as I am now in ministry, you know. And especially, like I say, I didn't know about this Goodly Horse Company. Amen. They had me kind of worried. But I was going to preach anyhow, I was just going to take my chances, you know. there's hardly anything, there's no risk to. So somebody, they got to talking about me out there. And somebody said, who is that guy anyhow? Somebody said he's Jack Harris. Anybody know him? Oh, yeah, a fellow said, I know him. He's from Panola County over there. I've heard a lot about him. What do you hear about him? Well, he said, one of the things I heard about him was that when he got saved, the sheriff laid off half his deputies. So I preached, and then it come time, you know, I just got to go. I mean, I got to get out. My car's out there. I've got to go. And the church was up high like they built them in. You go down five steps, you know, to get to the ground. And when I told them, but when I got to it, I said, now, I just read the note to the congregation. And I said, now, I am under a threat here. And I've got to go home. And I wouldn't ask any of you, I mean, to, you know, to put your life in jeopardy. I've got to go out there, and I don't know, you know, I just don't know. That's all I can do. So I called, you know, I hollered at them, it's about this long, and they, a couple of them stuck their head in the door, and I said, tell the rest of them I'm coming out. And while I come down this aisle, y'all look me over dead. Because I'm going straight to my car. And I'm going home. But I'll be back. Because they done asked me to come back and preach again. And they waited there, about four of them on one side and four on the other side. I walked right down that aisle, right down them steps right between them, and one of them laid a hand on me. Went back a lot of times after that. Some of them got saved under my ministry. And some of them still, going on for the Lord today. Hallelujah. The goodly horse in battle. Well, alright, he mocketh at fear. He is not affrighted. He's not afraid. Neither turneth he back from the sword. He doesn't turn back because, the way gets rough. He's prepared for battle. The quiver rattleth against him. That is, the quiver, you know, was the ammunition sack. Back in them days, they had arrows and stuff. And the arrows was hanging on his neck in front, so it'd be easily available to the horseman. And it rattles against his neck. And the glittering spear and the shield. You know what he does? He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off. That's discernment, yes. He discerns, when there's rumor of trouble, when there's trouble brewing, he smelleth it afar off. And the thunder of the captains and the shouting, that's a goodly horse. This is a goodly horse, Captain. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and let's see, in verse 8, maybe? Let's read from verse 8 will be all right to start. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now we got to Jacob. We got Judah to Jacob. He was in the loins of Jacob. This is still the goodly horse company. And he found him in a desert land. Now when God found this goodly horse, he was in a desert land. That's kind of our story, isn't it? He found us in a desert land. Where did he find him? All right, we might keep our place here and turn back to Genesis chapter 28. I believe chapter 28. And Jacob here is fleeing from... All right, now, Jacob has bought the birthright from Esau, and he has deceived Isaac. And Esau has come in and is furious at Jacob and swears that he'll kill him. And Jacob runs out of the house from Esau. And as he goes through the kitchen door, Rebekah hands him a sack of biscuits. And he keeps going without looking back. Probably Esau, is it Esau? Yeah. Esau didn't follow him no further than the yard gate, but he didn't know that. He thought he's still back there, so he's running for his life, because he knows that if his brother catches up with him, he's going to be no match for him. And so he runs until he gives out, and that brings us to chapter 28. And here he falls down exhausted, not knowing whether Esau is still in pursuit or not. But Jacob, in verse 10, he went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. He's running toward his mother's brother. And he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and he seen this ladder, and I'll make it shorter, won't read it all, I'll just tell you the story. He dreamed, he seen a ladder, he seen the angels descending and ascending the ladder, which this, all of this is significant. I won't have time to touch all of it. And in the morning, in verse 18, Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow, set it up for a pillow, poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. Now, Jacob says, this was in the 17th verse, no, in the 16th verse. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, we read in Deuteronomy there, where God finds him in a desert place. That's where he found him. God, until this time, he'd had no personal, not recorded any personal contact that he himself had had with God. Of course, Rebecca, his mother, had had personal contact. But Jacob is meeting God, so God found him in a wilderness place, and what did he do? He found him in a desert land in the waste, howling wilderness, and he led him about. God led him about and took good care of him. You have to read the rest of the story. God guided him and directed him over to the house of Laban and showed Rachel to him. And he worked for Laban, and Laban tried to manipulate him, as you know. And then Jacob accuses him of changing his wages 10 times. But whatever he done, he could never get the advantage of Jacob. For God had found him in a wilderness place. He was going to make a goodly horse company out of him. From his posterity would come the sons of God. Hallelujah. And so he led him about. He instructed him. God instructed him. What an instructor he had. Hallelujah. God instructed him. Let's see, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. And as an eagle, he kept him as the apple of his eye. That is, the choice, his choice son. And as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them beneath them on her wings, so the Lord, now here it is, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Hallelujah. That reminds us of something. Indeed, it does. It reminds us of the 144,000 in the 14th chapter that followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They came out of the religious systems, came and did the unusual. They became peculiar. Well, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. And on he goes. The care that God had had for Jacob. Now, Jacob, he leads Jacob into this strange land, and there he blesses him and makes him wealthy, quite wealthy. He's quite wealthy when he returns to his father's land in peace, as he had requested. And here in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, he wrestles. He's come back, and he wrestles with God in the 32nd chapter. And verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Hallelujah. He wrestled. Jacob wrestles with this man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh, that is the angel of the Lord. The man that was wrestling with Jacob said, the day breaketh. But Jacob said, I won't let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. It is commendable of Jacob that he wrestled this man all night. It's more commendable when you consider the fact that Jacob didn't know that he'd have to leave at daybreak. You know what am I saying? I'm saying that Jacob was in a wrestling match and he was prepared to carry on in to the heat of the day. He didn't know when he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. He didn't know that the angel of the Lord would have to leave at daylight. He didn't know how long this stress would last. He only knew one thing. He would not release his hope until he got the blessing. And the angel of the Lord touched him and hollowed out his thigh. And Jacob, who had come into a match, to a wrestling match, with the Lord, with the man, the angel of the Lord, he went limping off the next morning with all the promises of God on him. Hallelujah. And his name was Israel. Hallelujah. And we are spiritual Israel. He went limping away with all the promises that we hope to attain and do, even now. And then I showed you how that God chose his son Judah to bring forth Shiloh, the blessed Lord, and that he made Judah then as his goodly horse company in battle. And that's the company that we are tonight. We are the goodly horse company. We are not easily affrighted. We do not see ourselves as grasshoppers. We do not see ourselves as insignificant, but we see ourselves as sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A chosen people. Didn't think it was mighty peculiar of Jacob to pour oil on that stone. You know what he was doing? Well, he didn't either. He didn't know what he was doing either, did he? When he poured the oil on the stone. Ah, he was anointing those lively stones. Hallelujah. Ah, somehow God knew what he was doing, but Jacob didn't know what he was doing. Hallelujah. He didn't know that he was projecting. Hallelujah. Peter said, you're a priest of a royal priesthood. They punched each other and said, is this guy loco? Yeah, only the tribe of Levi is qualified for priest. Peter said, no, that was the old economy. Hallelujah. This is a new day. He said, you are all priests. of a royal priesthood, your lively stones builded together. Hallelujah. And when Jacob poured the oil on that stone that night, that is what he was doing. He was anointing the lively stones that are being built into the house of God tonight. Lively stones that you are, that we are. Hallelujah. And he is bringing forth the goodly horse company, that one that paweth in the valley. He doesn't quit. He mocketh at fear. He is not affrighted. He glories in his strength because he knows where his strength comes from. Hallelujah. Do you know where your strength comes from tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. He is mighty to be praised. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. He's a great stronghold present in every time of trouble. He will never leave us. Hallelujah. Never forsake us. Hallelujah. But he sticketh closer than a brother, the scripture says. I love him tonight. Do you love him tonight? Would you just lift your hands and voices together with me? Hallelujah. And let's just adore him that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Great God, by your Spirit tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I entreat you now, Lord. I seal the words for today, Lord, to the minds and hearts and spirits of this people, O Lord. Everything that has been done in throughout this entire day in this meeting, Lord, that'll be profitable to your kingdom, I seal it to their hearts, O Lord. If anything has been just folly or will be no profit to the kingdom, I pray that they'll just forget it before we leave the premises, O Lord. But for all that will help us in our pursuit of godliness, I seal it to our hearts. And I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for you and upon this camp meeting. Hallelujah. And upon the keepers of this camp, the stewards of God. Amen. Even after the meeting is over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God richly bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Brother Glenn, I'll leave it right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I just enjoy the presence of the Lord. I don't even know what to sing here. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Lift our hands as we sing to him. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him praise the name of Jesus.
Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, that we have confided in our hearts, that it will be life unto us. And I thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you for the joy of the Lord to be our portion as we lay our head upon the pillow. In the night season, we shall rejoice in thee. We shall praise and magnify thee even as we sleep, that our spirit shall rejoice in the good things of the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for I thank you, Lord, for the angel of the Lord to comfort anyone here who needs comfort, for peace and joy to be their portion, and for the glory of the Lord to be with them as they lay their head upon the pillow tonight. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.